Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is Dr. Nancy V. Brown Willis. I'm so honored to be here with you guys tonight. This show is scan number 2973. Again, the scan number is 2973, and you're joining us on NAFSA Stop Child Abuse Now. I want to read our mission statement to you all. We have one single purpose at NAFSA, to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent or physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so with two goals. Number one, educating the public, especially as related to helping society get over its taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse, presenting facts showing child abuse to be a pandemic, worldwide problem that affects everyone. Number two, offering hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse, and information for anyone interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. Again, 973. If you'd like to call and be on the panel with me and my co-host, Ms. Kim, she's on here with us tonight. You can call 646-595-2118. Again, 646-595-2118. Hello, Ms. Kim.
Hello. How are you tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. It's so great to have you tonight. How's it going?
Good. I've got a two-year-old on my lap that wants me to read to her.
That's a good thing.
We were just reading while you were doing the introduction, but I guess that wasn't enough. But we are here.
We're opening the mic for anyone who would like to call in and join us tonight.
Yeah.
We are definitely opening
that up. Because we're just doing the Q&A.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Basically what I'm just doing a Q&A. So if anybody wants to call in, and that's what is happening. So
exactly. Well,
yeah, well,
we can talk about
out of breath.
Yeah. What were you
going
to say?
Trying to get caught up here. I was just going to say, we're both trying to get caught up here. I know. Just life hits you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And I know you're there spending time with your grandbaby.
Yeah. So, I'm at a different house than what I'm usually at with another grandbaby. My daughters had babies a week apart. So we've got two-year-olds. So I'm with my granddaughter, and I'm usually with my grandson, who's two as well.
But,
yeah.
That was nice. Spending some quality time with the family. It's always good. Okay.
Well,
good.
And my daughter and her husband. Yeah, they just took their older kids to Disney World. So I'm watching the baby while they go to Disney World.
Oh, that is awesome. That's so nice.
Yeah.
I wish I was on Disney World.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what would be more exhausting, the 2-year-old or Disney World. Yeah.
No, you're right about that. Disney World. One of my friends just got back from Disney World, and she said it was definitely a lot. But they had fun. The kids had fun.
Yeah.
So, you know, well, what I'll do is I'll share a little bit of what I've been up to, and hopefully you could chime in. I know you're on grandma duties, but I'll just start by sharing that, you know, this has been a really good week. You know, we're just still out here committed, us at NASCA and survivors of child abuse, really been trying to focus on sharing our advocacy and sharing our testimonies more and the importance of speaking up and being brave and sharing your story as it relates to helping other people feel brave and share their story. I know that that's something that gets very scary for people. We normally do encourage people to come on the show and share their testimonies. You know, I found it, and I could just speak for myself, that it has been really helpful to my healing, to my healing process. Sharing my story has given me strength, and it's also given me hope, you know, and purpose. It's allowed me to help others, and that's always very fulfilling. So I just want to encourage anyone who's listening, if you've thought about sharing your story but you felt scared to share your story, consider, you know, consider trying it out, because it does help you once you start getting your story out and once you start sharing. We're always looking for guests. Tonight it would have been great to have a guest, but I actually had a couple of people that I should have reached who were interested in sharing their story, and they definitely would have loved to come on and share their testimonies. But, you know, we will definitely get somebody next week. Again, I just want to encourage people. I know it gets really scary. I've spoken to people who say that they were ready to share their story, and then they backed up because they were worried about what other people were saying. But I tell people, your healing is your healing. You have to, you know, get to a place where you take control of your own healing and not really worry about what other people think. People are always going to have something to say. And, you know, we cannot get stuck on other people's opinions, especially when we're trying to focus on our own healing. So I want to encourage people to share their testimonies, come on the show. It's always a good thing. How was it for you the first time you shared your story? Did you feel like, were you nervous? Were you scared?
Yeah, I had, well, it was interesting because I came on with my, well, I don't think we were on together, but we were, a friend and I were setting up a podcast as well to do, kind of along the same lines as NASCA. But what I found out was that very shortly after we started working together is that we really couldn't work together. Our values and things just were not aligned at all. And and so the first time I came on NASCA, which is interesting because it just talks into, I think, how everybody feels, where they're very, very nervous. And then I have the added pressure of feeling, being told that I could only say certain things because she is, you know, a good friend of mine. You know, we still talk every once in a while. We're not in the same state, but she's actually part of my story. Her cousins were, you know, whose house I was staying at, is it her house? And so that's how we kind of came back together after 30 years. And then we were going to talk about that with, you know, on a podcast, and then have other professionals on. And we did a show, but then, like I said, I noticed that we just didn't align. So I felt very stifled because I was told I could only say a certain, you know, a few things, because she wanted to save it for, you know, having our own podcast. And it was really, really hard. I mean, and when you're coming into this and you've decided that you're going to, open up and tell your story, then, you know, it's hard to then be stifled and said you can't do this. No one can talk about it. Yes, and that's okay. There. So, yeah, I mean, that was really hard. But I think it was probably about a year later that I came on and I felt a lot more open and I started to tell my story. I mean, there's a lot of, I think you and I have discussed this. There's, you know, a lot of things that are really hard in my story of having then one of my abusers who I've forgiven and, you know, he's still alive and around. And so it took me a while to really want to tell my whole story because I didn't really want to, I mean, I didn't want to, you know, just dog him all down, you know, because I did forgive him. And most of all, he, you know, accepted the Lord. And so, you know, God has forgiven him and that's who he needs that from. So that, you know, but it's still hard in knowing, you know, what I should share. And that's why I had mentioned the other night, too, when we were on, I think with Penelope, that I have a couple different Facebook pages. And there's one, you know, my personal Facebook page that I've had for 30 years or however long it's been on. People on there don't want to know about this stuff. They just don't even care. I mean, if I post something, you know, even some of the stuff that I'm doing and the conference coming up and everything in Texas, and nobody will respond or do anything on my personal Facebook page.
You mean
and
family?
So it's just that. Yeah, no, family, no. Sometimes my dad will. Sometimes my dad will call me and say something about it, but nobody responds. I mean, I will get like zero responses on that page. It's really odd to me. Because it's, you know, but I don't want to push it out. And I never did. I never wanted to push it into anybody's face who doesn't want to know that side of my story. You know, I guess that that's their prerogative. They can choose to or not. And especially my children. So especially my children. I don't want to push anything on them. And, you know, so that's why I try to be a little bit discreet, but I also try to tell my truth. Huh?
Right. Do they support you, the kids?
Yes. No. I think my son has always been very supportive. And even, you know, as far as helping me to get my, you know, organization together and, you know, we're working on doing a nonprofit. And so he helped me on that end. And but he's less helpful now because he has a significant other and he's busy. That goes. But
yeah,
and he lives, you know, like an hour away too. You know, he lives far away too. And so it's like my girls mostly just want to be supportive from kind of a distance. Although I've heard that my oldest daughter knows a little bit more than what I know that she knows. But she hasn't come to me to talk about it. So I'm like, I don't know what to say to her because she's not ready to open up about it. But my middle daughter, I've never had any conversations with her about, and I don't think she knows the whole story, my whole story, and then, but my son does. So, and he's the youngest. So, yeah, that's kind of how.
That's how it's
because nobody knew.
Yeah. Right. Can I ask you a question? When you decided to come forward, did you get support from his side of the family, or your side of the family when you started to come forward? Who supported
from
you in coming
side?
Forward?
From
your paternal side? Right. Did you get any support from that side of the family?
Yeah, and actually, I do have an aunt who has tried to be supportive, but still a little bit limited too. You know? And my dad's sister was actually You're going to need to wait a minute, sweetheart. Wait a minute. Go watch Pop. Hold on.
She was the person that I went to when I was 12 years old and told about the abuse right after it happened, that she was 18. So she was just out of high school. She didn't know what to do. She'd never had any kind of training or anything about what to do. And it was her brother, too. So
right.
My and my aunt, both on my maternal and paternal, well, side, and it gets a little bit more complicated because I was a kid too. And, and so I also have that other side, too, that's in Arkansas. That's my southern side of the family is on my biological dad's side. So, but my mom has a sister and a brother still alive who want to know, you know, just kind of limited stuff. But my aunt did try to be supportive when she can, you know, she tries to be. But it's all just seems limited. Yeah, how about you?
Right. Yeah,
I've been talking.
The reason
for a while.
I asked that is because no, it's okay. Sorry, I know. The reason why I was asking that is because today I had somebody interviewed me and they had, you know, a lot of different questions for me. They were asking me, you know, did I have support from the my father's side of the family? They were asking me, you know, how they reacted to this. They were asking me if he ever spent any time in jail, and I try to explain to them, you know, back in the days we were told not to tell what happens in the family stays in the family, and that was like a very strict religious ideology that we adopted and we believed in because that's how we grew up. And so I did not feel comfortable telling, and I did not, you know, my mother didn't press charges because they asked me the question, did your mom press charges? Did this happen? Did that happen? No. I just wanted him to get help. I didn't want him to go to jail because I loved him, right? And so I tell people when people are recovering from abuse, it could be very complex. And I sometimes, you know, I feel judged by people that they may not understand it, and they get angry because they're, you know, they're on the outside. They're not in that particular type of situation, but if you just look at the facts, you know the facts is it's wrong and the person needs to go to jail. And, like, if I hear a story, I'm going to be very upset and I'm going to think like that. But when you're in the situation, and you notice this a lot of times with people that are in relationships, a lot of your girlfriends or a lot of people that you may know, they'll be like, yep, that's it, I'm leaving, and then they stay. Oh, yes, this time I'm leaving, and then they stay. And the reason why that happens is because you love the person, it's complex, it's a lot of other things that also play a role in it. And so you cannot really judge the person for staying or for not going to the authorities because, you know, sometimes that's the caretaker. Sometimes not a lot of people is their parent, you know. So a lot of times when I speak to people and they say, oh, you should have done this or this should have happened, they've never probably been through any type of sexual abuse. Number two, it was probably a friend, a neighbor, somebody they really didn't know, or it was probably somebody they were close to, a step-parent. But a lot of times it's not a parent. A lot of times it's like a boyfriend or a friend. So when it starts to get deep in the family, deep-rooted, it gets very complex, and we have to be just careful how we address victims you know, victims, survivors, wherever they are in their recovery, we still have to be very sensitive to them because it's still their story. And back then, that was the ideology that I came up under, you don't tell. And I was very close to my paternal side of the family. And so I respected him and I respected the family. And, you know, when I started to tell, it created a big uproar in my family. So I stopped talking about it because I was, you know, a troublemaker. I was the black sheep of the family. I was creating drama. And, okay, you already told once. You don't have to keep telling again. You don't have to keep speaking up about it. So even now I do have some family members on my social media page. You know, I see them looking at my stuff, but they don't support. They don't like my stuff. They're just, like, probably waiting on the edge of their seat to see how much of my story or shame I'm going to bring, more shame am I going to bring to the family. So it becomes a very lonely space. And a lot of people, even when they start telling their story, they start dealing with isolation separation, judgment. People are angry. They're resentful. Division in the family. People stop inviting you. People stop. They're all in my social media. They're all in my stuff, but they won't support it. They won't comment. They won't encourage me like, you go, girl, because at the end of the day, they're closer to him than they are to me. And a lot of times that's what a lot of victims have to deal with. The people are closer to the abuser. They respect the abuser more. They support the abuser more, and they won't believe you. They're just going to focus on they love the abuser and there's no way that he would do that. Or, you know, mine, you know, he did admit to it. He never denied it. He was ashamed and he was embarrassed. He knew what he had done. So he didn't fight me. It wasn't something that I had to fight through to be believed. But the family was just pissed off and disgusted that I brought shame to the name and that I told my story. So that's why I was kind of asking you some of those questions. Because recently, I had an interview today. I had two interviews today, two different shows where they were interviewing me. And, you know, and one of the questions that came up from one of the interviewers was, you know, that he should have probably gone to jail, and I agree, but at that time I probably would have really, really not done well had it happened that way, because of the type of pressure that I was under. I wasn't protected except for by my mother. And again, I don't blame my mother for not having charges, because she did the best she could with what she knew coming up in that time where you did not tell, even if you yourself went through abuse. And a lot of us went through abuse and we didn't tell. So it takes a lot of bravery and a lot of courage to come up with your story and then to be transparent and let people question you about your story and be put in a hot seat as if you did something wrong. Sometimes that creates re-victimization. And so we have to be very careful how we direct these questions and what type of pressure we put on the victims. I do agree that we do have to make sure that we hold these people accountable. I think now we're getting to a time where we have, it's a season of information. We're being educated. We're learning. We have more wisdom because we've been through so much. And, you know, there's so much information. We're in a time of information. And so times are very different. Whereas back in the days, my mother didn't have resources. She didn't have support. She didn't know what to do. It's like when you get a bombshell dropped on you, when you find out something like that, you know, when it's your own child, for my grandmother, it was difficult because it was her child who, again, he was everybody's favorite uncle, everybody's favorite friend. He was so funny. He's just a wonderful personality. And so when somebody hears, oh, that person was rude, or that person was abusive, or that person hurt me, and that person is your child, you're really going to have a hard time with that, you know, especially back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I always encourage survivors to come forward, and then I encourage them, like, you know, if you don't feel safe with the person or the people that you're telling your story to, you don't have to continue. You don't have to. You're not on the stand. You didn't do anything wrong. You're not on the stand, and you should not feel like you have to defend yourself. You're sharing to help others. You're sharing your story to help others. And so when they're listening to your story and when they're trying to learn from your story, they always have to do it with from a place of respect. And not to add to your anxiety and stress where now you feel shamed or you feel like you did something wrong, because you didn't do anything wrong. You were a victim. And especially, you were a victim, whether you were a child or an adult. If you were victimized, you were a victim. If you are still surviving, you are a survivor. But that doesn't mean that you're super strong and you don't still have feelings when you're telling the story. You're reliving the story a lot of times. And, again, when we do that, we're actually doing it from a place of love to help people. So we just always want to be treated with love and respect and compassion as we're opening up, where so many people today have died by suicide because they couldn't even handle the center of their story, reliving it in their minds. Never mind that those who relive it in their minds, but also I have to speak about it and relive it and walk through it as they're telling the story. And then being questioned, you have to be very careful how you question people that are testifying during the testimony. Mm-hmm. We're not on the stand.
Yeah.
So.
You know, it looks like, is that John? Are you on, John?
Yes, I'm here. How y'all doing?
John just joined us, so.
Hi, John.
Hey, John.
Hello, how are you, Nancy? And Mel,
good.
Y'all doing okay?
You.
Y'all having a good show.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to talk a little bit more about what y'all were saying earlier in regards to when you are a victim of childhood sex abuse, dealing with family and friends, okay?
Yep.
I'm going to tell you a little bit, if I can, about my story so I can give y'all insight on what I went through. Is that, and I'm going to get to a point after I tell you this first, okay? Is that, all right, I'm 9, okay? And all of a sudden my life changes over a month, okay, just about a month's time, where the police were called, the entire school, my friends, everybody knew what he was doing to me in class, okay? And it just became a running joke. People were climbing garbage cans inside the hallways, okay, to stand on them, to look in the windows, you know, in the classrooms, to see him doing things to me, okay? So all this went then to court, okay? We had him arrested. My parents were going to try to, you know, file charges. And with everything, you know, that we had in me to tell the truth, tell what he was doing. Now, this was over 3 weeks, literally, okay? The month was the week of my life that I think it just changed me forever, okay? The third week to the fourth week. Because I was realizing what happened to me at that time. It took me that long to realize that my life is going to be totally different from now on, and I was in shock, literally, okay? So we took this man to court, and the judge requested a bench trial, period. Turns out he's a major Catholic fundraiser, and this is to the Archdiocese, okay? Well, the guy winds up getting acquitted, okay? So then he goes on and rapes 27 other kids, okay? So he's the most prolific rapist in Louisiana's history. I was the first. So that weight alone, okay, is on my shoulders, or it was for a very long time, that we tried to put him away. I did the right thing, okay? But let me tell you what happened after this. The repercussions from the people back then, this is in the 70s, they put the brakes on when it came down to friendship, when it came down to socialism in the community. My parents immediately took me out of the school, and then I went to my aunt's in Alabama, and then I went to Texas for a month after that, okay? Then I wound up switching schools. So I wound up going to 6 different schools after this happened to me. 6, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
I wasn't a bad student. However, I was running from the shame. I was running from the guilt.
Right.
You know, I felt like I was the one, you know, and I was still hanging on. And Penelope mentioned it earlier about, you know, her being Penny, and then now she's Penelope. Well, I was Jay, okay? Everybody knew me as Jay back then because I'm the 4th. Well, you know, I had to get rid of Jay and grow that much in order for me to be where I am today, you know. However, I paid a serious consequence when it came down to, you know, the community. All my friends evaded me. There were 2 that took the stand in my favor, 2 eyewitnesses within 4 feet, okay, both of them. And they were so strong, man. I tell you, those guys, you know, one of them's gone, you know, and I'm sorry to say it was by suicide, okay? So the other one, his name is Tim, and he knows that he did the right thing, you know? We all did the right thing. However, the way the system was, we couldn't, you just don't take on the archdiocese with that back then. You see, that's why I do what I do now. And I am heavily in the front, and I'm marching with this parade, and I'm nailing them to the wall. I want every person guilty. I want the records out, and I want to make sure that all these victims get closure, okay? But my life was seriously affected, by that with my family. Y'all talking about that. So,
mm-hmm.
It seems to me that the family relationship a lot of times is there, but it's also distant,
mm-hmm.
It's almost like I have shared more with survivors, okay, that are close to me about the little things and all that, everything that we know and feel, okay, because we have so many things going on inside of our minds and our bodies, right? But when you get down to really sharing your story and opening your heart up to someone, it's rare that family members are there for that, but they will support you, okay? And some will be on the opposite side. I know, both sides, ain't no question, and everybody in between, However, is that I feel that when you reach a certain age, that part don't matter anymore, okay? Either you're going to be with me or you're not. Okay, that's the way it's going to be, because I don't want another child hurt, and I will fight for laws, and I will fight to the end of my day to make sure that I can help anyone and everyone as much as possible. So I'm full strength, and I'm going to continue to grow. This show does that for me. We had some serious educational topics last night and the night before, and every time we do this, all of us, and this, Nancy, is that, and Penelope too, is that we are also getting seriously educated on this show, I love that part about it. Because you know what that does to me? It makes us stronger, as advocates for one, but also supporters, okay? We talked about that too, But when it comes to family, things are tight, it all depends on, I think, how close you are to them and how they, really accept what you do now and how things really are, because things change all the time. But people are at different levels. Don't you agree with that? It's like if they are still in what I would call a victim mode, okay, being one that is now getting ready to, come forward and they're hurting and some that haven't been coming forward, at that stage in their life, I could see a lot of turmoil within, okay? And then when people finally do start taking steps to open up like they do on this show, I see people grow to amazing levels that just literally shocks me, However, sometimes we have to go take a couple of steps, forward and one step back every now and then. And I think we all know this, but how we get over that, how we get to those three and four steps and maybe one step back and then go, I think by us opening up, people coming on this show, with both of you all educating public and all of our shows here, there's no doubt in my mind that it helps the community. And, so, I just want to, share that part with y'all that when things, get tough in your family about this, is that in the end, I'm sure that inside of their hearts that they're going to know you're doing the right thing. Some people are just different about the way they handle situations. It's like, I don't want to be, about that, but I'm happy what you're doing, Then you got other people that are on top of you saying, man, great job, go. And so it all depends on people. But my thing is, and I'm sure that y'all are with me on this, is that I'm going to do the right thing and for the cause to make sure that CSA is abolished as much as possible, and hold people accountable that need to be, okay? There are people out there right now that are credible, okay? And they're on the streets. I mean, it's just a matter of time before, but I'm telling you that it's got to stop, and that's why we're here. So,
yep.
Yeah. I just want to let y'all know that things can get tough sometimes.
As far as people not being supportive, you know, I still deal with that, where I see the same people. Like, God is so funny. I literally sometimes, let's say I'll go on social media, and the same people, I know they see my posts, and they never support me or encourage me, you know, support me in my healing journey to keep doing that, or encourage me and let me know that I'm doing the right thing. But then I'll see them celebrating celebrities and people they don't know and encourage them for what they're doing. And I'm like, that person is never going to see your comments. Your like doesn't matter. And, you know, they don't really need your support. They got enough. Whereas people that you know, you have a hard time supporting them, but you don't know the turmoil and what they're fighting through to even share and to stand up. But I agree with you, John, you know, Mr. John, I agree with you because, or Brother John, I agree with you because I think it's very important that at the end of the day, we just focus on why are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Because we want to help other people. Just hearing your story, what you were talking about, the fact that you even had to endure bullying and abuse and, you know, and from the students knowing your story, it takes a lot of courage. A lot of people don't tell their stories because they know that could be an outcome and they don't want to go through that. It's very scary. Right. It's very stressful. And it's really horrible that you're a victim and you're trying to survive, and then other people are not even making it easy for you and helping you to survive, but they're also judging you and victimizing you and looking at you like you're wrong for rising up and for raising a standard and for trying to make a change and to make sure that you protect other children and other people from going through similar abuse. I think that's like really crazy, but we just have to get to a place that we say enough's enough. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care if you support me. I don't care if you support me. Who God has for me, he's going to send to me. And whoever doesn't need to be on my journey could fall off. But I'm going to do the right thing, and I'm going to be a voice, because I know that what I went through, it was not for no reason. It was for the purpose of helping others. And those people that are not raising their voices and telling their story, they're scared of these people that make us feel bad. Like what we're going through or what we've been through for telling our stories, that's the reason why people don't come forward. So when people ask people, or when people make the comment, people need to come forward, or why don't people come forward? Because of people like you who are not supporting those who come forward. You're seeing this as a competition. I don't think that this is anything to be proud of. I still deal with shame right now. You know, I'm still working through shame, and people don't know that, but they'll be like, oh, she thinks she's all that, or I'm trying to survive. Not only am I trying to survive, I'm praying to God I can thrive through my recovery. And not only that, I'm still fighting. I still have obstacles. I still have days when I have flashbacks. Yeah. I still have nights when I have nightmares. And, you know, and I'm still overcoming
that.
I got to have a smile on my face and words of encouragement to help other people. And so I just want to encourage other people that are listening that if anybody's sharing their story, just encourage them. It's not an easy thing. So many people are dying by suicide. Today, one of the interviews that I had, they were interviewing me on the topic of suicide, and people were sharing, there's a lot of us that have lost people to suicide, and a lot of us have experienced thoughts of suicide, and then some of us have attempted suicide. So people don't know what you're dealing with. So if you have the opportunity to share words of love and words of encouragement and support, do that. Don't be a part of the problem. Be a part of the solution.
Yeah. Well, I just want to add something, too. I'm so glad you're talking about that, because I want to tell y'all something, is that times have changed for me. You know, some of these people that I wouldn't say befriended me back then, but just shaded from me, that's several now that really appraise me for what I do, because times have changed. And that's what I want to reemphasize, is that now, you know, if you're coming forward about it now, you know, these people know that it's serious now, you know, and being in Louisiana, I was part of getting the statute of limitations abolished, okay? I mean, I was physically there. I was on the floor. I mean, it was just amazing, you know? Well, with that, it opened up a window, you know, to say, hey, you know what, now, you know, if something happened to you, please, you know, come forward, say something, and look. And since then, I'm telling you that life has changed, you know, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
And I do want to reemphasize about the suicide issue is that personally, since Sunday, I've been on two preventions, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what I call a level five. That's what we say in this business about, you know, that category, and it was that. And I was proud to be a part of it, you know. And I know that there might be some people out there that's still, you know, experiencing, you know, some thoughts of that. There's no question about it. But
mm-hmm.
I want to tell everyone that I am here for you, man, you know, or a woman, anybody. I just say that as a general word. But listen, you know, please, if you need me or anybody here and you're listening to the show tonight, you know, pick that phone up. Just pick it up, you know, and listen. If you want to come forward and tell your story on the show,
yeah,
you know, it's wonderful. Your life will change forever because this is how it starts, you know. So I just want to thank you for bringing those topics up because it's very important that we talk about them.
Yeah, and we're reminding people that they're not alone, and you know, and when
yeah.
you decide to share your story, you have a support system of people who can relate to you. Like we've been there, we've been through some. Our stories are very, very deep. And so we have empathy, we have a heart, and we have understanding, and we have experience. We can actually support you through your journey, your healing journey. We're encouraging you to heal. We want to see you win. We want to see you live. Okay, you're not alone.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, thank you for that, John.
Yeah, you
were. Input. I just put the two-year off the bed, so it's quiet.
Great.
Right now. Light. Excuse me. But yeah, I think that is what you were saying to Dr. Nancy about it's a process and it's going and it's continuing. You know, I think it's so important for
mm-hmm.
people to understand. Because I think everybody wants to get to this certain point. You know, it's like, if I can just get to this point. And then I think at some point mm-hmm. in your life, when you get older, you realize that it's not about that. It's about figuring out, you know, how you can deal with that was handed to you. It's not something that needs to define you, but it's something, you know, in a lot of our, and especially our cases who are on this
mm-hmm.
podcast. We want to do something about it. And so we
right.
make the choice to go do something. And that,
you know what, while you're talking about that, can I just say one
yeah.
thing while you're on that, and I'll leave that alone. I want to be quick because you really brought up such an important, you know, what I would say hurdle,
mm-hmm.
okay, in someone's life, is that, you know, coming forward from the beginning and being in that stage, you know, it is such an important time in your life that what I would, you know, suggest is that, first of all, you know, talk to another survivor that you know, that is experienced, that can deal with, you know, what you went through and understand exactly what you went through. And then work with them and let them, you know, help you, okay? You know, nobody's going to force anybody to do anything. But when you have people with experience that can offer you the right road to get on, and believe me, you want to be on this road, is that there are certain barriers and hurdles that you're going to run through and get there. But the way, you know, to do it in the beginning, you know, is to at least tell someone that is a survivor and find them and go from there. You know, of course, you know, I'll always recommend, you know, therapy and stuff because I think it's really good for people. However, you know, you have to find the right person. And that's why other survivors, you know, can let you know exactly what to expect, what to look for, you know, to cut that journey short because you don't want to go around, you know, shopping for a therapist, right? You know, I mean, what happens if you have to go see 5, 6, 10 therapists before you find someone, you know, that you can, you know, relate with. Well, you got to tell your story over and over. You're going to re-traumatize yourself a lot. You know, well, let me tell you something, is that by opening up, you know, you are letting off a lot of darkness in your soul and things you've been hiding in there forever, okay? However, it's very triggering, and some people respond differently than others, you know? So I don't want people getting on the wrong road. And that's, you know that, you know, I mean, Nancy and Penelope, we don't want to be on that wrong road. And you can get there by doing things the wrong way sometimes. So
right.
I just think that, you know, what Penelope said is such an important area to focus on is in that beginning about, you know, opening up and coming forward, about that time in your life. You know, how to do it. Where do you go? Who do you trust? You know, does anybody really trust anybody when you're at that stage? You know, you don't trust the soul, you know. You don't trust anybody when it comes to that. And we all
nope.
have trust issues. We have major trust issues when it comes down to this and people, because people can lie, boy. They can deceive. They, you know, it's evil. I mean, just evil crap, shit. Excuse my language, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And right. let me tell you something, is that other survivors that are true are the way to go, all right? And I'll leave it at that.
Yep. Well, Ms. Kim, you know, she's been sharing with us a lot tonight as far as even when she was talking about coming out with her story. And that's why I was asking her some of those questions that I was asking her, because I just mm-hmm. felt like, you know, I had – people who didn't believe me in my family, they didn't support me. And I think as a child, that was very difficult for me. You know, I needed my family to support me. I needed my mm-hmm. family to believe me, but they supported and believed the abuser more than they believed me. And I still see that today mm-hmm. with a lot of different areas.
Right.
People mm-hmm. will always support people that they care about and they love, and they'll be
mm-hmm.
like, oh, no. That person would
mm-hmm.
never say that. That person would never do that. And they'll put their hands on fire. But, you know,
yeah.
we just have to just really understand that anybody could do anything. We really have to really support the victims. Now, there are people
mm-hmm.
who lie, but children typically don't make up those type of stories,
mm-hmm.
especially about their loved ones, you know.
Yep.
Well,
I know I said Penelope earlier. I'm sorry, Kim.
Right.
Yeah, I did. I was talking to her earlier,
and it was
on my mind. Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Mine's gone.
Okay.
Yeah.
My mind's gone. So
now, I'll just be upfront with it. I had because of last night and today we had talk and stuff, and I had them on my mind. But it's just wrong. I'm sorry very much for that. So, anyway, let me tell you something. I love y'all, and anyway,
we love you.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy to be here with y'all. Yeah.
Well, we appreciate you. I was hoping I was gonna ask Ms. Kim. I was gonna be like, wait a minute, is Mr. John, is he coming on tonight? But I'm glad you showed up, you know, and are supporting us. I need to show up to the other nights a little bit more too.
No, I was just going to say that's a good point, you know, wherever we can support each other, but we've also got to be aware, like we were just talking about, what we can do, you know. So if, you know, I understand, too, that I should probably be on more on your night, John, even though we do a night together. But,
yeah,
no, I think that's
Listen,
good.
It's never
it's
a big deal with
time.
That. You know, anytime, everybody's always welcome.
Life.
There's no question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
but
yeah.
I think the more we talk about this, the more we bring, the more we talk about it, the more we bring light to this issue, the better it will be. You know, people will feel safe coming forward. And we are survivors. Like, we are survivors. We are letting people know, look, you can talk about it. You can work
mm-hmm.
on your healing. And you'll feel better. You'll feel lighter. You're not alone. And a lot of times that's why people die by suicide and they deal with depression. They feel alone. A lot of the people when I talk today, I did a conversation with a survivor, a lost survivor. And she just kept saying
mm-hmm.
she feels so alone. Her friends stopped talking to her.
A lot of times people stop talking to you if you are a loss survivor because they don't know what to say to you. I experienced that. People didn't know what to say to me. I didn't even know what to say to them. I mean, I wanted to talk about it, but then what? And they don't know what to say. So some people tend to stay away, not to be mean, but because they don't know what to say to you after you have either been dealing with depression and overcome that, or some people were, you know, had to be in the hospital because they were dealing with their mental health. Some people have lost loved ones because of mental health, mental illness. Mm-hmm. And so people, they don't know what to say. And I'm just going to encourage those that are listening, if you know someone who's dealing with depression or someone who's lost someone to suicide or anything like that, sometimes you don't have to worry about what to say. Just check in and say hello. And they'll tell you what they want to talk about. If they don't want to talk about it, they won't. Sometimes people need an ear, and that can save a life. Just listening.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I know that I have, and I've mentioned this before too, I have an aunt who has bipolar, and she deals with, you know, that a lot. And it's been hard for me over the years, not even knowing her, because I didn't really know her story. I mean, she's my aunt, and we grew up more like sisters because she's only 2 years older than me, but we just didn't talk about things, you know. She knew about me, but she doesn't want to know too much. And but it's hard for me at times to relate to that because I have a hard time because I don't ever think that way, you know. Praise God. I mean, and it's only because of God that I know I don't think. You know, I don't have those suicide ideologies. So I, you know, but I try and be supportive if I can. But a lot of times she won't even tell me. She'll just, you know, go into the hospital and stay a few days. And she's got some other treatments that she's been doing that help. But, yeah, it's hard, I think, for outsiders too, for sure. Or, you know, not outsiders, but not immediate family, to know how to walk through those things with your family, too. It's hard. Because I know that I want them to be there for me and support me and everything, but I'm not sure that I'm always that good at supporting them. That's what I have a hard time with, I think. And I think that some of it could be that the trust thing, like Nancy was talking about earlier, the trust issue, you know, who can I trust? Because there are people that I've gone to before, and it seems like they, you know, aren't there for you. So that's another thing I was thinking about when you were talking about a survivor, you know, finding somebody who, a survivor who has been through this and, you know, they need to be ready, and able to share. And because, you know, it took me till I was 50. I know you were a little bit younger. I think both of you were, weren't you?
Yeah, I was 9.
I was younger than, I was not an adult. I was younger. But I think, like you said, you have to be ready to share. And to be honest with you, just take it one step at a time. You know, don't look at the whole staircase, right? Don't look at the whole picture. Just take a step towards telling. Because I've sat with people who are older than me and have told me they've never told nobody. And they told me, and they're like, I've never told anybody this. So I'm like, what? Oh, my God, 50-something years, and this person has never told anybody this? I mean, what kind of hell are they living in the inside? You know, that's very traumatic. I feel bad for them. I'm like,
and you're exactly
right. Them like a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, because I know what
because
it is. I know the battle.
The average age is 52. You know that? The average age is 52 now, and you hit that right on the head.
Wow. So mm-hmm. difficult. And I just want to, like, hug yeah. them like a little baby because I see their spirit. I see the inside of them. I see the baby. You know, I see the small, I see their vulnerability, mm-hmm. their little self. And it's so hard that they're so scared that they are dealing with shame and guilt at such a high level their whole life that they never could tell, never could tell. I mean, I feel horrible for them, you know. So mm-hmm. I definitely, just like all of us here, and we're encouraging anyone who's listening to start taking small steps. Even if you don't, you're not ready to come up and the first step is speaking to a coach, a counselor, a therapist privately, and then you go to the next step, and then you come and you share on a platform or you share in one of the groups. NASCA has a lot of different groups, Zoom groups and mm-hmm. other groups. And you can start, take one step, another step, and then as you graduate, then you come to this step. You know, but just know, you know, your story matters. And, you know, while you're here, you did not go through all of that for no reason. It was for you and for others to survive. Mm-hmm. You know, your story is important. It needs to be heard. It needs to be heard.
Yeah. And you know, I was looking up some things while we were talking about this because, you know, when people come forward and for the first time, you know, it seems like there's a lot that it's like, how do you open up about it? You know, well, I looked up some things and I'm just going to read some things to y'all if I can real quick. Because it is definitely, you know, kind of what we emphasize here. But also, you know, some of the things that I'm about to read aren't exactly what I would call, you know, the true way to go. It's just examples, okay? So you can take it as that. But it's this is not me. It's just somebody else. But anyway, it says, you know, how do you open up about abuse? Well, it starts out and it says, ask questions about how they feel, okay? Keep the conversation open. Ask simple questions about how they feel about their situation and encourage their feelings to be shared openly. For example, mm-hmm. are you comfortable with that? Or how does that make you feel? And reflect back mm-hmm. on what they're telling you. Okay? So people also ask, and this is about, you know, the short part of it, is that, you know, it's consider these conversation starters to engage, you know, them in conversation. So they are actually saying to engage them in conversation, which means that, you know, obviously this person is coming forward, but how do you get started here? You know, so one says, use the media to make it relevant. Okay, maybe there's a story on the news or something, you know, related to that. Or number two, use your own experience to tell a safety story. Okay, yeah, you know that you can take it for what it says. That could go a lot of ways. You know, talk about caring for their friends, not just about their own behavior. Or number four, the last one, straight out, you know. Talk about sexual assault directly, you know. So they just, you know, trying to give you some examples of the way that, you know, you can, you know, come forward. You know, however, you know, like we're talking about on, like on the show, you know, when people come on the NASCA show for the first time, maybe we can give that phone number out for if there's anybody listening out there. I can tell y'all in a second. It's something that when you reach that hurdle, that's the last hurdle, you know, on your way to becoming a true survivor, in my opinion. You know, once you reach that level, you know, things are really going to take off for you from there. So, you know, I mean, we do have a call-in number here, and I'll just give it out. It's area code 646-595-2118. Yeah, or you can go to the website and listen to the show at NASCA.org, www.NASCA.org. So, yeah, mm-hmm. So thank y'all. I just wanted to throw that in there. So, you know, it's just another another piece of information that we can share, you know, when it comes down to this kind of stuff, is that it's very important that people have, you know, platforms to engage in, you know. And I think that's one of the things that we should talk about, and that's what we are basically, is that when we do this, is that you're not alone now. You know, you have a family now that understands what you went through, because we have so many people here that are just true, authentic survivors, that there's not another place on this earth that you're going to find this level of platforms available to you. On our website, you know, incredible information. Every host, you know, Kim, Penelope, myself, you, Nancy, you know, and Annie and Bill, Carol, all of us, you know, if I'm leaving anybody out, I'm sorry, but let me tell you something. You know, we understand, and I want you to be a part of this. And I think that, you know, if you to get to know some of us, it'll be, you know, a life changer for you forever.
Right. And we need each other. I think it's definitely really important to have a support system. That's one of the things that I like about, that I love about NASCA, is the fact that we are actual survivors and we're experts, because we actually do our research and we actually we've been trained in different areas, trauma-informed. The more we're interviewing other doctors and the more we're interviewing other people who are survivors, the more we're also getting educated ourselves, and we have the wisdom and, again, the empathy and, you know, firsthand knowledge as survivors. And so, you know, you're with a group of people who really do truly understand and truly care and are going to walk with you through the journey as you're telling your story. So I just think this is wonderful. You know, so it's a family and it's a tribe. It definitely
is.
Yeah,
and not only that, you know, you're talking about the family. Listen, you know, we have so many people here that along the way there's going to be somebody that you can connect with. You know, I know that, and there's no question about it. And we, even as hosts, you know, we rely on each other, don't we? Nancy and Kim?
Yes.
I mean, we rely on each other all the time. No matter what it is about, you know, with us being together and doing these shows and learning and helping people, you know, this is what we do. And it's such a beautiful thing to know that we offer, the, you know, those type of platforms to people. Yeah.
Oh, that's definitely important. I think that's a wonderful thing. Again, you know, I remember the first time I came on the show and I had to share my story. I was crying all over the place, you know. So sometimes people tell me, I'm ready. I was crying all over the place, and I was not ready. I knew I needed to start sharing my story. I had never really shared my story. Like, I've shared a little bit of my story, but I was so scared when I shared my story. But this time, like, I really, when I shared my story here, I was, like, more in tune, and I was more open and more transparent, and I started breaking down like a baby. And normally I'm helping everybody else, but I felt like I was in a safe space to do that. I really did. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, some people are embarrassed because they're like, oh, I don't want to be crying. I'm like, so what? Oh, what? Cry. Get it out. It's part of healing, you know.
You can pull up my first time that I was on NASCA, which was, I'm sorry, I have to laugh about it now, because I've grown so much as a person from that night. And just like you, Nancy, I cried like a baby, you know, I swear. Yeah. And you know what? It was the best thing that ever happened to me.
Yep.
And lots changed since then, you know. So it's there, and I really applaud the fact that you're opening up and telling everyone about that, because I was that way too, and a lot of us are that way. And really, you know what? It's I can tell everyone it's probably the best thing that's ever happened to a lot of us. Yeah.
That was great. How was your first time sharing your story, Ms. Kim?
You know, I was going to say, when Don had mentioned this too, and it sounds just like Bill, because I remember Bill saying to me, how does that make you feel? You know, so, and I had a really hard time saying how it made me feel. I got to the point where, you know, like the second time I came on, that I was telling my story, that it didn't always have those feelings in it. And Bill would always go, how did you feel about that? And I'd be like, I don't know. I'm just telling you about it. I didn't want, no, I had to say how I felt. But, no, it's just, it's funny. It was just kind of funny when you were saying that. But
you didn't have any feelings at all?
Well, no, I mean, for sure. I was scared to death. But, I mean, just as far as, like, you know, when something happened to you, how did that make you feel? And I didn't always know how to put that into words. And I think I still struggle with that, as a matter of fact, to this day.
That's okay.
And it could be a lot of what.
Yeah, I think I was part of the of one of your shows, Kim, and you know, and I think the second time when you talked about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I have stuff, you know, I keep notes and all, you know, of course, and you're in there. I forget what scan number it is. I don't look at all that. I just keep the, you know, records of it all. But you write about it, too. Is that I've told my story a couple of times also on the show, and I'm probably going to do it again. You know, but that first time, it was me opening up, you know, to the world, basically, to new people, to a new level of sharing, you know, my heart, you know, and, you know, the other times it was more of me growing as a person and not only sharing my story, but helping educate at the same time. You know, look what happened here. That was bullying. Look what happened here. It was assault. Look what happened here. It was rape. Look what happened here. It was, you know, this. And then, you know, so, you know, as you, I guess, get educated more and more on everything, you also start bringing in situations that occurred, you know, to make people realize about it, right? I know they probably understand about some of it, but not all of it. So there's, you know, yeah, I get that big time. Mm-hmm.
I think it's wonderful, again, that we're able to find that place where we can come and we can share and we can be transparent. And then we don't have to worry about being judged, and we're very well understood. Even, you know, the founder, Mr. Bill, when I hear his testimony, every time I hear it, I learn something new. And it's so empowering to know that he himself is so open about his story and so willing to help other people. I think it also allowed me coming in, allowed us coming in to say, well, heck, if he could do it, we could do it, you know? And
right. We're
holding each other's hand as we're walking in this journey because, you know, there's highs and lows. Like I said, when you start sharing your story, you'll have people that are going to support you, and then you'll have some people who will be against you. So knowing that we have a community, a safe community is always a good thing. I really appreciate that. I appreciate you.
Well,
all.
You're so right too. Is that, you know, when people come forward and then they come forward and then they come forward some more and now we're really coming forward. You know, that's a part about growing, like you said. You know, with Bill, and all of us, is that, you know, we are now willing to come so forward. Is that we are going to help every, you know, person that we possibly can, educate the public. And let them know, you know, what we're about, and we want people to know. It's not like, you know, now we are the opposite of what we used to be. You see what I'm saying? Now, before it was shame, guilt, hiding, running, you know, not no more. You know, now it's like, oh, I'm taking the bull by the horns, and I'm running with it here, you know, and we're going to go. I got a team now, you know. So things are much different than everything that we've accomplished as survivors is amazing. You know, I do want to say that so many laws are being changed now. Instead of benefiting, you know, the perpetrators, It's starting to benefit the survivors for a change, you know.
Putting
time spans on, you know, abuse. Are you kidding me? You know, people, you know, the average age is over 50 years old. Come on, you know. I mean, there should never be anything. Because I know some that are 70 and more. You know, these people finally broke down. It took that long.
Right.
But it is what it is. And it's only because a lot of us now have came forward and we are opening the doors like we are tonight, you know, letting these people know that it's okay, that you're not alone, and that we're going to be there for you. And all you have to do is pick that phone up.
I'm so glad that that we have this platform. I do want to encourage people again to call us, to call in, and to, you know, to share their story. I want to just repeat that number again. What's that phone number again, Mr. John? Let me see here. I have it. It's 646-595-2118. What nights are we on, John? What are all the nights
we,
that we're on?
Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern. And actually, the way it usually works, but it really, you know, we're wide open here at NASCA. Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays are what we call special guest night, okay? So that means that if you want to schedule one of these nights to come tell your story and, you know, help educate the public and grow, you know, we can get you scheduled. Tuesdays and Thursdays are usually an open mic type forum where, you know, we discuss issues of everything when it comes to CSA or child sex abuse, okay? It doesn't matter what it is. But, you know, the main thing is that we are here for you 5 nights a week. And even if you want to listen to the show, I mean, sometimes we have people that come in and they just want to be on the panel and just listen. That's fine. You can remain anonymous, you know, if you want to. But, however, I want to say that some of these, you know, people that have gone from that level to actually, you know, participating on the show, wow. You know, you were talking about some beautiful times that, you know, I think that it will never be replaced. So that's why we're here. And we'll be here for you anytime, you know. So, and, you know, of course, on the front page of our website, there's a whole section there that you can, you know, there's a contact list. There's so many areas that, you know, you can look at. There's news articles and stats. And we also have a section about recovery and, like, protecting our kids and all kinds of stuff, you know. And if you go into those, let me tell you something. You're going to find something in there that you know, relates with you, okay? Because we have every, you know, I would say, you know, type of person on this show, and everything that we have, you know, would relate to something in your life. And that's why we offer the hope and healing, you know, and also the education behind it. So we do have a lot of programs available also, you know, and it's just, and all these shows, by the way, these are scans, right? You know, these scans stands for something, right? It stands for Stop Child Abuse Now, okay? So we put a number next to it, and that number could, you know, be your show for life, all right? In other words, you know, it's digitally recorded. It'll always be there, and it's something that we could always go back to and learn. And, you know, look at yourself when you do it. Look at the first time you've been on NASCA. Then look at the next time you've been on NASCA. You know, it's amazing, you know, to see the difference in people growing when they do come back on the show, and then they start, you know, introducing new levels of education and where they're going with their advocacy and the books that they write. I mean, you know, come on, you know, this is some really good stuff. So I definitely encourage everybody. Plus, has a contact list right there, and you know, we're all on there. I'm on there. You know, all of us there, and we have volunteers, ambassadors. And we got videos available and plenty of highlights, you know. So I just encourage anyone just to go into the website and you know, look and see what we do and what we're about. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Kim?
Meet me. Yeah.
Hi.
Hello, I'm still here.
Okay. Oh, check.
Yeah. I have things that go through my head, and then, you know, it kind of keeps going, goes out the other ear. As you guys keep talking. But
Kim, I want to say your mic sounds wonderful. No problems.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not up in the mountains so either.
Oh.
So
okay.
Yeah, I'm down in the city.
Okay. Yep.
So my daughter that I'm staying with is the one that lives kind of in a mountain area, and it's kind of in a valley. But it's about an hour and 20 minutes from where I'm at now is where they live. And so, yeah, I'm down doing some more babysitting because that's what I do best. I think that what I can contribute kind of to the conversation of how things affect us, I think that I've always wanted everybody to like me, and we talked about that too. So, you know, I do things for my daughters to the point that I get very frustrated at times because then they feel like they take advantage of me. But I know that that's just me not probably communicating enough what the situation is and how frustrated I am, because I just want to be helpful. I just want to, I don't want to have any conflict. I don't like conflict. I try to avoid conflict whenever possible. So I end up doing a lot of things that maybe
I would agree with that too.
Yeah,
we don't want any conflict. I think we've been through so much, together, and what we've been through in our lives is that we evade from conflict anymore. It's like we're going to do anything and everything that we possibly can not to even get there. So, I understand that point, boy. Yeah.
Oh, but then, I turn around and leave my husband. So that's a big conflict because right now. Like, oh, yeah, I need to do that. But I'll tell you what, because I have said this on the show, kind of recently even, that that I'm in the process of leaving my husband. But, it's something that I feel at peace with. So even though it's a really stressful thing, and I do feel the stress part of it as well, there's a peace that's coming with it, because this is like at least 30 years in the making. We've known each other 35 years. I mean, it's just been, it's just been that way. And so there is a like I said, a peace that I feel too. So that's good that I still would like to not.
Well, I hope you know that we're here for you, Kim. Okay. No,
yes, we support you. Right. Just support you. I know it's not easy. I was in a long marriage and got divorced after 15 years, and so I understand it's very difficult, and it's a process. So just take your time and be sensitive with yourself. Be patient with yourself. And you can always reach out to us, because we're survivors of a lot of other things, so we can pretty much relate and understand you when, if it gets tough, because tough days will come sometimes, and it's okay. It's okay. Just know that we're here for you. We support you.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a huge... Thank you.
One of these nights we can have a show talking about that same thing, because I've been affected also with me.
Oh.
And I'm going to tell you straight up is that it had to do with abuse, a lot of it. The way things were, the uncomfortability, the pressure, it was just cold atmosphere, just a lot of things.
Yeah.
And it definitely affected, it. There's no question about it. So I'd love to have a whole show and talk about things like that, just to get it out there. you know, because I know there's a lot of people. You can't tell me that all of us here, you know, everyone I know, everyone that I know, basically same thing. So I think we should talk about it one night.
Yeah.
Well, and it's hard because we don't know, especially in our 20s, especially in our 20s, we don't know what to look for in a partner. So we get all these lovey-dovey feelings and we fall in love and, you know, we get married and we're going to live happily ever after. Well, then reality hits and there's, you know. And
right, it's like you really don't know each other yet.
Mm-hmm. No. I mean, yeah, we dated for almost 4 years before we got married, but I remember feeling like he was a stranger when we moved in together after we got married, you know. I was just like, who is this again? What? And I remember I remember that kind of, we weren't able to connect even early on. And, you know, I'm sure that I'm to blame for that as well. I'm sure that I had my walls up. But I know that I tried hard over the years not to have my walls up and to try.
That is so important you said that. That's so important you said that, Kim. I don't want to break you up, but that's so important that you admitted that. Because myself, okay, no question about it.
Yeah.
And it's just the way it is, you know. I mean, you see that, and it's the weirdest thing. However, it does happen all the time, you know. And I think that we should really, you know, have another show about this one night where we can all, you know, talk about things and our stories and how this affected us and the little things. There's so much that you can say with this. It's unbelievable. And
right.
It's important. It's very important because, like you said, in the 20s, you know, and then people go to their 30s and in their 40s mm-hmm. and in their 50s, you know. Hey.
Miserable.
You know, exactly.
Well,
you know, so it would be very important to talk about. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I've questioned, you know, even recently, how would I feel if I was never abused and I was healthy? You know, would I still want to stay in this marriage? And no, I mean, there has just never been that connection made. And I know that a lot of it had to do with him not understanding and not, I guess even not, I think what happened was because I had forgiven my dad, there was this lack of, you know, worry about me or, you know, that this is something that I'm going to struggle with. I don't think he understood that. As a matter of fact, I know he doesn't. And I know, and you'll understand, John, because we went to a Catholic. When we got married, I didn't belong to a church, and he wasn't really going to church either, but he was raised Catholic. And so his mom belonged to a church, and I said, okay, I'll get married in the Catholic church. That's fine. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we didn't have to take mass or anything because I wasn't Catholic, and I didn't convert. But we did go to the classes, you know, before marriage classes with a priest.
Right.
And I remember the priest specifically saying something about, you know, I told him that I had been abused. Because, of course, my husband knew that by then. And the priest could tell that we hadn't dealt with that. And he said, this is going to come up later. This is going to be an issue for you guys later. He told us that flat out. And I don't think I know I didn't understand what he was talking about then. I didn't get it.
Right.
Because I was just young and in love and I was ready to get married and I already have a 3-year-old. So I was really ready to get married because, you know, I wanted to have a dad for her.
Absolutely.
And
for family. Mm-hmm.
And so, there was a lot of things that played into that, too, that I just know people, you know, it's hard. That's why I do respect people who come forward so young, at such a young age because they've done a lot of work, you know, to get to that point even at a young age to be able to talk about this.
I talk about that a lot. You know, I talk about that a lot on some of my shows is that I'm starting to see, you know, a big movement on people of younger age. And I'll always encourage that, you know, and it's amazing to me to see some of these younger people come forward and how brave they are, you know, because usually, like we said, you know, these people are all in ages, 40, 50, you know, and let me tell you something, you know, they wished that they would have done it earlier, all of them. It was just the fact that they were so full of shame at the moment. They just didn't want to pick that phone up. That's all it took, you know, was to just make a phone call. And they just never did, you know. Just and that's what I hear, you know, from a lot of them. And let me tell you something. Once they do, you know, things are much different, and things are accepted now more than they ever were. And that's the big emphasis is that times are different now. Even though we lived through it, you know, in those times, and we know how things were, dealing with all of this stuff with the laws and how they would benefit, even if they did get popped for any type of molestation, they wouldn't even go to jail. Or if some did get, you know, even for rape sentences, even aggravated rape, they'd get 30 years, but they'd be out in 10, you know, and things of that nature. So, you know, times now, let me tell you something, laws are starting to benefit the survivors more than they are the perpetrators, and I'm happy to say that. So we have to keep fighting.
Oh, yeah. Things are changing. And that's because we're rising up and we're speaking up. I think now we're raising our voices and they're forcing things to change and creating a movement. We are creating a movement. The more we continue to rise up against the abuse, the more we continue to move forward. We take the steps forward.
Yeah.
We're holding
and I'm starting to see the FBI involved. I'm starting to see governors involved. I'm starting to see attorney generals involved. You know,
City
councils. That's what we've always needed. Yep.
City councils. Today I was at City Hall dealing with the city councils. They're putting a mental health symposium dealing with mental health, and I was sharing my testimony, and we're talking about, you know, suicide. We're talking about sexual abuse, and we're talking about a lot of different things, but they're starting to really put together initiatives to help us. So it's moving. It's moving like now, immediately, and I'm very happy about this. You're so right, John.
Yep. So along that way, we also have to remain, you know, extremely strong. We have to remain confident. And that's why we you know, emphasize with working with each other and being with each other, because that's what it takes. It really takes that. You know, look, we're not super people here, but we have been through a lot. And as you come forward, you know, we're going to be here for you to make sure that you're as comfortable as possible, that, you know, no matter what, you know, you are going to find a brand new way, a new highway, a new road, you know, if you just do it. And I want to encourage anybody, please, you know, to come forward.
Yes, you are not alone. And we're getting close to that end, close to that time.
Yes,
we are. Is anybody here? Yes, it's literally, we have like a minute and a half. So if anybody
else
wants
show.
Some words of encouragement.
That's a great show. Well, I just want to thank y'all for being here, you know, period. I mean, it's always wonderful. And, you know, like I said, we have the call-in number for next time if anybody is listening, 1-646-595-2118, or, you know, you can go to the website at www.nasca.org.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, John. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. Miss Kim, any final words?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to put some music on for everybody. And, have a wonderful night, okay?
All right. Well, good night, everyone. Thank you for joining us.
Another tomorrow, because that dawn was
Mm-hmm.